Community Voices with Ron Holland. In-depth analysis, thought-provoking, and hard-hitting. Community Voices with Ron Holland. Giving you an opportunity to share what's on your mind and in your heart. Community Voices with Ron Holland on Praise 100.9 and 92.7. Charlotte's Inspiration Station.
Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. This is Community Voices with Ron Holland, exploring the issues that impact our community, providing an in-depth analysis of the latest national discussion, and hitting the issues hard in a thoughtful, passionate, and provocative way. We have another thought-provoking show for you this morning. I have back in the studio with me Henry Hollingshead. He's becoming a regular here. And I think we're going to have to pay him a salary or something.
Ooh, I like that. Ron, nice to be back.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, some circumstances has actually caused me to give you a call so that we can kind of ferret through the latest national discussion,
sure,
which is obviously disappointing. We have another shooting rampage.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I think this is, we have one of these a month. It's gotten to the point of literally ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. The latest, of course, is in California. 22-year-old Elliot Roger went on a killing spree that left 7 dead, including himself. Elliot is suspected of stabbing 3 men to death in his apartment, and what followed can only be described as a shooting rampage.
Yeah, I mean, he went over to a sorority house.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to get in there, killed a couple people there, just got in his car, just started to drive down the street and shoot people.
Yeah.
Ran one guy down that was on a bicycle.
Yeah, yeah.
And what's sad about this to me, Ron, is that everyone knew that this was going to happen. Mm-hmm. The parents called. They tried to get help.
That's exactly right.
Everyone tried to get help to this thing.
You know, Henry, one of the interesting things, and we're going to get into the NRA and some of the machinations that happened there, but interestingly, because the parents knew that there was a problem, there has to be a nexus between what the parents can do and what law enforcement are required to do.
Well, the parents sent the law enforcement over to talk to him.
Sure.
The law enforcement officers, and they had it on tape.
Mm-hmm.
This guy sounded as normal as you or I.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm,
you could tell that there was a deep-seated problem by his manifesto and everything.
Sure.
But when you talk to him or when they interviewed him, I can see why they let him go.
Sure. There has to be a mechanism in place. And I heard a very interesting observation, which basically suggests that anyone that has a mental problem, if there is a welfare check, in other words, by the police department coming out to check on an individual, if there's an established mental problem with that individual, despite how he sounds, there should be something that automatically triggers the police interest in finding out or determining whether or not this person has a firearm.
Well, the only way you're going to do that, Ron, is to register the firearms.
Sure, sure.
I mean, people can walk in and they buy this stuff, and yes, in a lot of states and under some circumstances, there's a 3-day waiting period.
Mm-hmm.
We all know there are ways to get around that.
Sure, sure.
This guy had 400 rounds of ammunition.
400. He had what we call clips of 10 magazines.
Right.
Literally 10 to 15 bullets, I believe it was, in each of those magazines. So, and interestingly, and what is so profoundly scary is if someone from that sorority had opened that door,
oh, it'd have been carnage.
Absolutely. It would have been a bloodbath.
What I don't understand is, if I read the thing right, he was there like almost 40 minutes banging on the door. Police never showed up?
Not only that.
Nobody ever came around?
Henry,
I mean, is this Benghazi?
Oh, Lord. I knew you were going to have to try to worm that issue into this. Unbelievable. But interestingly, though, he had been stalking these women.
Yeah.
For quite some time.
He was sitting over this, across the street.
Yeah, yeah. So it is profoundly disappointing. But for the intervention of the police department and obviously chasing him down and obviously killing himself, we would have had a bigger, much more gruesome carnage on our hands. I want to name the victims here. Veronica Weiss, Catherine Cooper, Christopher Martinez. All three were students at the University of California, Santa Barbara. And it is so stunning to me that their lives were snuffed out in this way. And of course, this coward killed himself. I understand, again, he has some mental issues. But when we are faced with this kind of situation, Henry, I don't want to glorify the guy. He was a coward.
Yeah,
in any instance of this nature, we ought not to be giving the guy, whomever it is, glorification. He's a coward. Regardless of all that he was dealing with, he was a coward. The victims in the apartment, and folks have to forgive me for mispronouncing the names, Chang Yon Hung, he was 20, George Chen, 19, Wei Han Wang, he was 20, and apparently these were his roommates. And how he overpowered them is befuddling to me. I'm still curious about that.
They could have all been sitting around. He walked in and just took them out on very quickly. I mean, if someone is sitting there and they stab someone next to you, you're going to be in shock. You're just going to sit there and go, what happened?
Yeah,
and then he can kill you.
Yeah, yeah. He had a seething hatred for women.
I mean, it was supposedly he had never gotten kissed by a lady in his life.
Mm-hmm. And of course, he left a 140-page manifesto, as you indicated, detailing his long-standing resentment of women, the incidents of slights that he perceived from women, his desire for sex and relationships with women. He had a litany of complaints about women. Bizarre. Well-written, but bizarre.
Oh. It was incredible. But he had, the thing that bothers me really about this case is that his background would have allowed them to get him a psychiatrist. After they had called the police department and they had him on a watch list, I would have thought that someone would have said, let's contact a shrink.
Right.
Or
right.
something. I mean...
Again, from my reading of all of this, they were reaching out for help. He was seeing someone. Again, there needs to be a nexus between what the police knows in terms of a mental issue and how they connect his mental issues with whether or not he has a firearm. I think that nexus needs to be made when we are ferreting through these kinds of tragedies. You know, let's take a listen to, because he also left a YouTube video clip where he literally announces the pending rampage. Take a listen to this.
Hi, Elliot Roger here. Well, this is my last video. It all has to come to this. Tomorrow is the day of retribution, the day in which I will have my revenge against humanity, against all of you. For the last 8 years of my life, ever since I've hit puberty, I've been forced to endure an existence of loneliness, rejection, and unfulfilled desires, all because girls have never been attracted to me. Girls gave their affection and sex and love to other men, but never to me. I'm 22 years old, and I'm still a virgin. I've never even kissed a girl. I've been through college for 2.5 years. More than that, actually, and I'm still a virgin. That has been very torturous. And yet you throw yourselves at all these obnoxious men instead of me, the supreme gentleman. I will punish all of you for it. On the day of retribution, I am going to enter the hottest sorority house of UCSB. And I will slaughter every single spoiled, stuck-up, blonde slut I see inside there. All those girls that I've desired so much, they would have all rejected me and looked down upon me as an inferior man if I ever made a sexual advance towards them.
Your thoughts, Henry?
That man is flat crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, that is chilling because he is so calm. Mm-hmm. There is no screaming rampage. I mean, it is just, I mean, this guy's cheese slipped off his cracker.
Yeah, sick.
I mean, he's crazy.
Sick individual, twisted. And interestingly, he's not a bad looking guy.
No. No, I mean, he doesn't look like, you know, me.
Oh, come on.
But I mean, no, he wasn't a bad looking guy. He was like almost 6 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he had money.
Lots of money. Yeah.
Nice car. I mean, it wasn't like he was the Elephant Man or anything.
And interestingly, Henry, again, we all grapple with rejection in one form or the other.
Yeah.
But most of us overcome those things. Most normal individuals. And again, you know, I understand he may have had this mental lapse. But there is no excuse for this kind of behavior.
No.
I mean, just this
none.
Absolute. He's articulate. He's coherent. The manifesto is well written. There's no question about it. But it seems to me that some alarm system needs to be in place that the police, again, given the facts that the family was reaching out to the police in other areas for help, that nexus needs to be made, particularly for people who have firearms.
Well, the thing is that somewhere there should have been some interaction with someone growing up.
Well,
he should have seen someone else not succeed at everything.
Exactly.
And this idea that he was so insular, I mean, he had nothing. I don't think that could have happened really before the age of the computer.
Well, I mean, listen, he was educated overseas, abroad. He had, again, he had the world. He received invitations to grand openings and screenings and all those kind of things. So he had the world in his hands, but unfortunately, he didn't understand or he couldn't grasp the idea that certain relationships have to wait. You're not always going to have a relationship, or you know, it might be delayed. Somewhere out there, there is someone for everyone. I've always believed that.
Gotta be.
Yeah, yeah. But I think one of the most gut-wrenching moments was during the news conference held by Richard Martinez, father of the shooting victim, Christopher Martinez. Take a listen to this.
My name is Richard Martinez, regular spelling, M-A-R-T-I-N-E-Z, Richard. My son's name was Christopher Ross Martinez. He was 20 years old. He died last night. I've written out a statement that was prepared by the family. Our son Christopher Martinez and six others are dead. Our family has a message for every parent out there. You don't think it'll happen to your child until it does. Chris was a really great kid. Ask anyone who knew him. His death has left our family lost and broken. Why did Chris die? Chris died because of craven, irresponsible politicians and the NRA. They talk about gun rights. What about Chris's right to live? When will this insanity stop? When will enough people say, stop this madness? We don't have to live like this. Too many have died. We should say to ourselves, not one more. Thank you. That's it.
It's truly heartbreaking.
And to me, one of the sad things about the whole thing is nothing's going to change.
Yeah.
If it wouldn't change over Sandy Hook, it's not going to change over this.
Yeah, you know, his anguish, of course, is shared by millions of people across the country. And as you mentioned, Sandy Hook, the parents there, they had to deal with an awful massacre. My God. I don't know how a parent survives that kind of slaughter, or, you know, knowing that their children were cowering in the corner as this crazed individual comes storming in and shooting them. And our politicians are not moved by this. And for me, it is absolutely stunning. You know, not only a shooting massacre, but look what happens on the streets of Chicago and other major cities around the country. Absolute carnage. Now, listen to this, Henry. More than 30,000 people are killed by firearms each year in this country. More than 30 people are shot and murdered each day. Half of them are between the ages of 18 and 35. A third of them are under the age of 20. Homicide is the second leading cause of death among 15 to 24 year olds. Now, when you juxtapose those statistics with what we're dealing with in, let's say, Japan, there are less than 50 gun shootings in Japan on average. 150 in Germany, Italy, and France, but there are more than 10,000 gun-related shootings in the United States.
Well,
gun homicides,
I should say. Guns are in the United States, and how many guns are in Japan?
Yeah.
How many people are in the United States, and how many people are in Japan?
Yeah.
The size of the United States compared to the size of Japan.
Well, interestingly, the United States has an estimated 283 million guns in civilian hands. Each year, about 4.5 million firearms, including approximately 2 million handguns, are sold in the United States. An estimated 2 million secondhand firearms are sold each year. The percentage of American households with a gun has been steadily declining But the average number of guns per owner has increased from 4.1% in 1994 to 6.9% in 2004. Now, we're in 2014, so yeah. I mean, it is absolutely stunning that we're dealing with this stuff.
Well, when you look at a city like Chicago, I know their rate is very, very high, but when the argument is made you need a gun for home protection, they're not kidding.
Yeah.
You go to Chicago, you go to San Francisco, you go to inner streets of Dallas. I mean, if you don't have a weapon, you really have a problem.
Well, and, you know, but I think the larger point is that there are too many guns, perhaps, in this country. There are too many homicides. These shooting rampages are happening too frequently, in my judgment. And I lay this at the feet of the NRA. I lay this, as Mr. Martinez has indicated, I lay it at the hands of those craven politicians who are literally working at the behest of the NRA, who are controlling our politics, and it is absolutely unfortunate. Yes, we need to protect ourselves, but to what extent do we allow people like this on the streets with handguns? It's amazing to me.
The NRA has been founded, organized, and runs totally on paranoia. No one has ever said, you know, this whole thing, are they going to come and get your guns? Who is coming to get your guns? When has anyone said, stand on the corner, we're going to come by and pick up your gun? It doesn't happen that way. The NRA literally is sitting there going, they're going to take your gun. You shouldn't have an M60 machine gun. You shouldn't have an assault weapon. You can't hunt with the thing. An assault weapon does one thing: kill people.
Well, you know,
that's the point of it.
And I want to let the audience know, those who are familiar with my show knows that Henry is a conservative, and he and I differ on politics, but we agree to some extent on this issue, primarily because of the massacres that are taking place. I am a Second Amendment supporter. I support the right to bear arms. I support our rights to be able to protect ourselves. But we have to have some constraints in our society, as you've indicated. I do not need a machine gun.
No.
I'm just being honest. I mean, unless there's a zombie horde coming down the street, there's no need for me to have a machine gun.
Right.
Or a rocket launcher. Hell, I don't need a tank.
No.
But, you know, I mean, many supporters of the Second Amendment suggest that there should be no limits to what we can purchase. And I just happen to believe that that is wrong.
Well, if you read the Second Amendment, it starts with a well-organized militia. And three drunks and a crackhead is not a militia. I'm sorry. It's just not.
Yeah,
And I'll tell you the group that I actually am scared of all the groups, the ones that take the Second Amendment to the absolute limit and absolutely scares me, and they've got to do something about it, are these skinheads.
Yeah.
These guys come out and they have shooting parties where they show up with automatic weapons and start opening up on stuff. I mean, they're nuts.
Interestingly, Henry, 77% of NRA members favor a waiting period for purchases of handguns. 82% of Americans support limiting the sales of military-style assault weapons. 94% of police chiefs are in favor of requiring a background check for all handgun sales. But standing in the way, stifling our ability to limit these kinds of massacres is the NRA.
Yeah.
And our congressional leaders who are working at the behest of the NRA.
They are so scared because the NRA has so much money, and they will target if they see one congressman, one senator make a comment such as, let's use some common sense. Oh, they're a communist, we got to get rid of them. And they'll dump millions to get rid of the guy or the lady or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it is total. When Sandy Hook happened and the horror of that was on the street and the state tried to pass a rule to really limit weapons, what was it, a week or two after Sandy Hook? And they couldn't get it done then because the NRA had stepped in and made such a fuss about it. If they couldn't do it then,
it's
ridiculous.
What, Henry, perhaps it's time for the children, the grandchildren, and family members of NRA-supported members of Congress to be brutally and repeatedly shot down in a school massacre, in a movie theater, or on the streets before they finally embrace reasonable gun control measures. Now, I hate to say that. I don't want this to happen. No. But when it hits close to home, people are often moved when it impacts their family. Now, again, I do not want this to happen. But when NRA-supported members of Congress block sensible and reasonable gun control measures, such as universal background checks, it's evident to me, Henry, that their outrage following Sandy Hook, school massacre, following the tragedy that happened to Congresswoman Giffords, the Aurora movie theater, heck, going as far back as Columbine and other tragedies, their outrage was phony and self-serving. Why? Because these massacres happen to other children, other people, in other neighborhoods, in other communities.
What they have to do, the only way really to handle this situation at this point, truly, is to change tort law. Mm-hmm. Let everybody start suing each other over these guns. No, yeah. I'm serious. Yeah. Is that if we knew who was the gun owner, and the gun was, they say, stolen and used in a crime, mm-hmm. and it was not reported, you should be responsible. I mean, if you have a car and it gets stolen, and you drive down the street, somebody drives down the street and hits somebody with your stolen car, and you didn't report it, you've got a problem.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you're right, but again, I am looking at our congressional leaders. And I'm going to be redundant here. I think perhaps if it hits close to home, if they have to lean over caskets in their own community, if they have to bury their own family members, if some of these elite schools that their children are going to, if that happens to them, I think at that point, some desperate measure will be absolutely embraced. But unfortunately, folks are not, they're not moved by these incidents. I mean, you mentioned Sandy Hook. What about an Aurora movie theater? What about when Gifford,
Congresswoman?
What about when she was shot? You would think that going after a congressperson, you would think that the, in terms of the Congress being a family, you would think that that would move individuals. As you've indicated, with 26 kids being slaughtered in a school, and we still can't get universal checks. That is absolutely amazing.
We can't get the guns registered. I mean, it's ridiculous. They have got to do something about this. And one of the sad things is neither side, the Republicans nor the Democrats, can fight it. I mean, look at what Bloomberg did. Mm-hmm. Look at the money that he spent. He took on the NRA.
And I want folks to be clear. The NRA doesn't support universal background checks on all purchases of firearms. The NRA doesn't support a ban on assault-style weapons. The NRA doesn't support restrictions or a ban on high-capacity magazines. The NRA doesn't support closing the gun show loophole, of which 40% of illegal gun purchases are made. They railed against and blocked efforts to bring smart gun technology to the market, yet some of these folks are free marketeers.
Unbelievable.
You know? Yeah. So in essence, the NRA doesn't support any changes, any reasonable changes or gun control measures in our country. They will stand in the way of reasonable gun control measures in this country.
The NRA is trying to stop a weapon that can be sold, and it's called a smart weapon. You have to put on a wristband. And when you put on the wristband, somehow the radio connection to the gun so you can shoot the gun.
Right, yeah.
The NRA is against that. Now, I can't understand why the NRA is against a gun.
Now, listen.
I mean, look, where are we going here?
And this is, of course, the free market.
And this is the free market. Let the market decide. If the market says, let's have a little sanity and stop everybody from shooting each other by making the guns smart guns, why is the NRA saying, oh, no, we can't have a smart gun? We have to let all the stupid people have them.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on.
We want an organization available to us that will advocate for certain things. I mean, that's what lobbying is about. Obviously, we all have lobbying groups in the country. But when it comes to our children, when kids are slaughtered in the school, there has to be some moral and social ramifications for any member of Congress that will vote against reasonable gun control measures in our country.
Well, let me ask you this. What do you think of the Class X laws?
I'm not sure.
Now, they used to have those in Texas, and the law was that if you took a gun, a weapon, into a bar in Texas, it was 20 years. Mm-hmm. Every bar in Texas had to have a special gun room before you went in it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you had a weapon, you put it in the gun room, and it was, you know, signed in, and it was up to the bartender to make sure nobody stole your weapon and all that kind of stuff. But if you went into a bar in Texas with a gun, it was 20 years. Mm. Now, if they passed laws that said if you were carrying a gun and you did not have the proper paperwork, if you got a year and a half in jail, I think a lot of this would be covered up.
Right.
This idea in New York where they stopped the stop and frisk, I mean, come on. They had such a problem in New York, they would just come by and check everybody for guns.
Well, we can,
and they ruled that unconstitutional.
Well, but we can debate stop and frisk. We have to be careful of constitutional rights. What I am arguing is sensible gun control measures that would allow law enforcement to be able to ferret out individuals who should not have a weapon. That's where my argument is. I don't want a situation where I happen to be walking down the street and some police officer perceives that I might be a threat and he can just willy-nilly stop me and frisk me. That's an issue. That's a constitutional issue.
I can see
some
how that can be an
there.
Issue.
But what I am saying is that we have, and some NRA members will argue that we have enough laws on the book. Obviously, we don't, because we continue to have these major issues here.
Exactly.
And these folks who fear black helicopters, the anti-government crowd who would rather see children die in a shooting massacre or on a college campus at the hands of people that are not too far off from their own irrationality, these are the folks that are controlling the debate. They ought not have that kind of control in our discussions about this issue.
They're the birth certificate group.
I mean, seriously, well, if you're going to buy one, you probably buy the other.
Right, right, right. But these are individuals who literally have firearms. If they express that kind of fear and irrationality, they shouldn't even have Tupperware. I simply don't even believe. I'm serious, Henry. These individuals ought not have access to firearms.
They should not.
I mean, I understand. We want to make sure that our government is run efficiently. We want to make sure that there are no efforts of tyranny. I understand all of that. But when it comes to an onslaught of murder and massacre and all the things that we've seen from Sandy Hook to what happened just this week in Florida with the, mm-hmm. with these shootings, I mean, come on.
The Constitution does not say that they do not have the right to make sure that all the firearms are registered. I mean, this is the thing that kills me, is that if you read the Constitution and go to some history places and look around, you'll see back in the 1800s, when you turned 18 years old, by law, you were in the militia.
Right, right.
And every few months, they would have trainings.
Yeah.
And everybody would come by, and that's when everybody would discuss, you know, what's going on in the area, all that kind of stuff. But they would have training. Right then.
Yeah.
And none of that is done now, and these weapons have got to be, we've got to get more organization on this thing.
Absolutely. And what's even more disheartening to me is how we've ceded control of our legislative process and even this debate to a group of unhinged, paranoid gun rights advocates who shouldn't have access to guns, let alone our political process. It really is amazing to me that these folks would rather see children die in our schools or on the streets of our major cities than to ensure the safety of our schools and our public places. This is crazy to me. I'm an advocate of the Second Amendment, but there has to be reasonable restrictions here. And I'm going to continue proposing that because, again, unless these NRA-controlled members of Congress, unless they have to lean over those caskets and watch as their children are buried because of some gun massacre, unfortunately, this stuff might not change. And I don't want to see it happen, but sometimes when tragedy strikes close to home, that's when changes are made, unfortunately. So, Henry, thank you for coming in to talk about this very important topic. It's one of those things where we see this happen and we shake our heads, but nothing really happens.
Nothing changes, and it's a shame.
It is. It definitely is. Thanks again, Henry.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll wrap up the show. This is Community Voices on Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. Praise 100.9 and 92.7, Charlotte's Inspiration Station. I want to again thank Henry Jerry Hollingshead for coming in to talk about this tragic shooting. We're praying for the family of the victims and pray that God will comfort them in this very trying and difficult time. If you have any comments on today's show, please send me an email, ronholland@radio-1.com or ronholland25@yahoo.com. This show is also available on our Praise Charlotte website. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's Community Voices. I'm Ron Holland. We'll talk with you next week.